The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
What's going on, listeners? This is Kyle Davis of the NWA, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. You're making smart choices. Thanks for doing that. I need you to do it. Follow me. Follow them. We got this, baby.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Honestly, I do not understand this country that we live in. It's although it's not shocking what's happening, because, you know, people always say that you're at fault because you don't vote. And I go, no, you're at fault because look at who you're voting for. Never mind, listen, I know, this is a wrestling show, and for the longest time, I've steered clear from talking politics and government shit, you know, especially since Big Orange Asshole was removed from office. But, oof, excuse me, I mean, oh my lord, it's just... I have to say something because, you know, being a father of a young woman, it's frightening on how we still live in a society where old white men, because that's what it is, and one black guy, sorry, there's one black guy, old white men and a black guy who sit in the highest court and wear these gowns, feel the need to deem that something that was passed and beholding in the Constitution can possibly be reversed. Listen, for the longest time, I've been saying about the Constitution where things that have been done 200 years ago don't hold water to what it is now. Your phone updates every other fucking week. The apps on your phone, they update every week. So why hasn't a documentation, I think the last update was in the early 90s. This is ridiculous. But now they're going to update this motherfucker, all right? It's a scary, scary world we live in, man. I mean, honestly, that's the, you know, just think about it. Someone telling you what to do with your own body, right? Like, can you imagine that they just told you you can't get tattoos anymore or you just can't get piercings? Oh, no, that's right, because it's about quality of life, the right to life. Sure. And once you're born, they're not going to give you any child care. They're not going to give you any public assistance. They're not going to give you food stamps. They're not going to give you none of that shit, but make sure your kid is born. I heard this, and I know it's just a draft, and you know, who knows what's going to happen from here on out. Most likely this thing will happen. And it's like, I worry because I worry about, you know, God forbid things happening to my daughter. And, you know, she's in a predicament where she has to make the decision. Lucky for me, this is why. One of the reasons why I don't want to go anywhere else, although New York is expensive as fuck, but this is why I prefer to stay in New York, is because of the way we live and our government, our mentality, how we liberal and progressive and such. And you'd have gone to any of these fucking red states. It's a whole new world, man. I'm telling you. This has nothing to do with morality. This has nothing to do with conservatism or being religious. This has to do with they don't want their race to go away. It's already projected 25 years. There's a certain group that's the majority that will become the minority. And number two, they hate women. They hate the power women have. They hate the fact that women are the lifeblood. They hate the fact that women basically, if they want, could run and control shit. Might not be able to move a refrigerator or a stove, but yeah, could probably fucking run businesses better than we can. Why? They think methodically. And they believe the old ways, of which is keep them in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant. I know it's a wrestling show, but I felt the responsibility that I had to say something because, like I said, I'm a father of a young woman, and, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. And to think that when I'm gone, that she has to deal with this world in which how they look at her and how they feel that they can control her because of their own beliefs. Don't get me started about this whole thing about, you know, the whole rape and incest, whatever the case may occur, would occur when this and this happens. But even that, excluding that, if the person is not able to provide, or you have a fucking sperm donor who is not going to claim it or not going to take care of it, you're leaving them out in the wind. And then they'll say, oh, well, you know, just put it up for abortion. Abortion, you hear me? Put it up for adoption. And I'm like, do you hear yourself that a woman would have to go through that event to where they go 9 months full term, postpartum, and then have to give up the child? Do you know how much money is wasted just on the therapy for that alone when the abortion itself is done? It's over with. You don't even have to deal with it. Yes, you'll be sad. You know, might, you know, have to deal with certain regrets here and there, but it's a choice that they made. But now it's the long game. It's so fucking, this is the most, this is so fucking stupid. But let me get off my political and my government high horse and just say, welcome everybody to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I'm your host, Mr. Ear to the Mat, the King of Talk Style, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Red Santee. Be sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the Like and Group page on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And be sure you check us out on YouTube, TikTok, and on Twitch on Turnbuckle Tabloid. Also, check us out on all the podcasting outlets, iHeart, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you can find a podcast outlet, CastBox, wherever podcasts are, we're there. So look for us there. Or if not, always go to the family, go to RageWorksNetwork.com. RageWorksNetwork.com has all the podcasts under the RageWorks umbrella. You have Black is New Black, Trek Untold, Toys and Techs, much, much more. Check out the group at RageWorksNetwork.com. And for reviews, previews, context, and all things connected to the world of pop culture, always look at RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net has everything under the sun pertaining to the world, like I mentioned, of pop culture. Movies, TV shows, video games, toys, hobbies, whatever it is that you guys are into, it's all there, guys. So check us out at RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net. We do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. So as I told you guys in the previous episode, I'm an owner of the PS5, and I must tell you guys, I love it. I'm glad I got it. You know, had to go out and get the whole big boy spiel thing with the whole combo pack and all that shit, but you know what? Fuck it. And, you know, with 10 easy payments, it'll be paid for by fucking December, by Christmas. Or less than that, you know, whatever, however it goes. It's either that or I give up sperm or fucking, or kidney just to pay off the rest of it quickly. But other than that, I'm really enjoying it. Next episode, I'm looking to possibly do a discussion about the history of wrestling games and what I have, my longevity when it comes to wrestling games, seeing as though as much as I've been on this 2K22 for some time. It's funny, I get the PS5, so many other games that I could be playing, and yet all I did was transfer my stuff from the PS4 to the PS5 to play wrestling, which, by the way, I just recently booked a hell of a Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Amazing. I should have streamed that, but yeah, guys, I just want to take a vacation just to play my video games. There's a lot of games I have to catch up on, and I say that all the time, and I never get the fucking chance to. Ugh, but that's all right. We have much to talk about this week. Wrestling Rundown. Homework Mike sits in with us. We'll discuss numerous aspects of what has gone down in wrestling. In the news this past week, we'll be discussing, I'm not even on my notes. How unprofessional of me. What is wrong with me? We got individuals looking for the release. The WWE draft is moved to a new month. A smarter month. We have big possible start of a new promotion coming up, and much more, guys. So check us out at the Wrestling Rundown, and of course our underscore circle. What we watched, what we listened to, what we partook in this past week was Impact. They had Under Siege. I'm gonna talk about the results there. What we listen to on the podcast, and as well as, of course, what we watched during the week of wrestling. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We got much to talk about. And sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's the Quiet Storm of Wrestling here with your boy, Jay Santee. Don't go anywhere, guys. Check you guys in a sec.
Have you ever wanted to get into the field of communications? Do you feel that you have the testicular fortitude to be behind a mic? Do you believe that you have the grapefruits, the cassava melons, the cojones to work for the WWE? Well, my friends, we have an annex school for you. Sign up for WWE Announcer School of Broadcasting. That's right. You can apply for positions in the announcing field, and you can be a part of communications and announcing teams. Just as in NXT, we like to bring up our own type of announcers, and you can be a part of the learning experience with our own professors, JBL and Michael Cole. So if you want to ramble on incoherently, and you want to make comments about non-factual historical events and miss calls of moves and finishers, well, this is the annex for you. take a listen of one of our graduates from WWE Announcers School of Broadcasting. Johnny Wave is one of our prestigious students who graduated and became the lead announcer at God Awful Wrestling. Take a listen to one of his commentaries.
So this wrestler reminds me of The Rock, who debuted in WWF in 1999 under the alter ego Fabulous Pebble Rose. When The Rock debuted, he came in as a firestorm. Everyone loved him, the fans were behind him, and his big finisher, the Pebble Splash, went over big with everyone in wrestling.
That's right, our friends, here at WWE Announcers School of Broadcasting. This is a place where you can hone your craft and become one of the top elite professionals in our business. Take a listen of one of our other highly astute graduates from our school, Mickey Flames, as he does commentary and announcement for top-tier promotions. Oh my God! He just finished him off with a Mitch Kanoko driver!
Mickey, that was a wrist lock.
Yeah, that's what I said! Wow, what a wrist lock!
Our expansion program also has courses designated in the field of football announcing and commentary. You too can bumble up historical moments and well-known football plays. For example,
here's a tidbit for you guys. Using the Chicago defense, the Jacksonville Jaguars was able to win an astounding 6 Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah, true. Look it up. Yeah.
They was able to win with a historical play by Joe Namath hitting, take this, in stride, Jerry Rice with the Statue of Liberty Monmouth shotgun play. John Gruden himself couldn't even call that. It's true. Look it up on Wikipedia. It's true.
We here at WWE Announcers School of Broadcasting take pride in all of our students and graduates. And if you don't believe that, you're fired. You can follow online for WWE Announcers School of Broadcasting at WWEAnnouncers.edu. Tuition could be paid off by student loan, financial aid, or an endorsement by the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase.
This paid advertisement is brought to you by
the Regular Season Sportscast.
Hey, yo, what's good, everybody? This is Ortiz from the Land American Exchange, and you're listening.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santi.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Researching aspects of the show, I get lost with the idea that, yeah, this story doesn't make sense. I don't really think that it works. I don't know whether I should share it. Then all of a sudden, boom, I get story.
I mean, the last 2 weeks have been very news.
And I'm sitting there going, I can never be a loss when it comes to wrestling. I swear. They always find a way to bring up some stuff for me.
Whether it's something stupid or people get released.
Yeah. Why do I doubt these people?
Well, now you know, Jay, you know in advance that WWE is going to release people every 90 days.
Oh, from what I heard. But we'll get to that in a minute. But Homework Mike is sitting in with us, ladies and gentlemen, for Wrestling Rundown. Yeah. That's not the one I wanted to hear. As always, I am the Norm McDonald's of this segment. I am.
You're not saying words.
Wrestling Rundown. So, Opening up Wrestling Rundown this week, we have Roderick Strong has been requesting his release
for a year now. Ever since Diamond Mine was a thing, he's like, nope, get me the fuck out of here.
I think it all
started when his wife got released. I think that's where it originally started.
But maybe he knows how the business is. And by the way, she's been doing great, hasn't she?
Yeah, that Rampage match. Yeah, play that.
People
didn't want to even take a shit. They were sitting in their seat.
Like, oh my God, I need. Which, by the way,
I can't wait for Jade Cargill to destroy Marina Shafir.
Wow, and what a fucking burial of just them.
Marina Shafir, BCW World Champion.
Yay!
That's our only fucking highlights is being fired.
Oh, jeez. Back to Roderick. It's like, Roddy, I almost have to look at you to say that although AEW will fucking take you because they would want to solidify everything.
More impact.
But I would also say that maybe you should start banking on the fact that you're going to be a trainer somewhere. That you're good. You're very good. You're awesome. I say that, but
I think Roddy should have seen the writing on the wall when he re-signed his deal last year.
Yeah.
When he signed that extension. He should have realized, yeah, because I think he signed it under the pretense, oh, Kyle's staying and Adam's staying.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, no, we're going to Tampa. And Roddy's like, what?
Roderick Strong, next member of Edge and fucking Damian Priest stable.
Oh, hell no. That would make sense.
Why would it? Because
they just called him Strong or Roderick.
Oh yeah, yeah. It'll be just Roderick.
My newest disciple, Roderick.
pay close attention. Look, it sounds. It makes sense. Pay close attention to my new disciple, Roderick,
the backbreaker.
God. I mean, honestly, what are we gonna do with him? I mean, he's one of those guys that says like. You go anywhere else, it's gonna be the same shit.
Yeah,
you are the ROH champion. You are great. You're awesome. But right now, he's like
Mr. Ring of Honor.
Yeah, now it's all right, guys. Unless you bring him to AEW to be on that ROH fucking tangent, you might have a good fun match with who else? Who would he have a fucking match with over there? Oh, Wheeler Yuta.
Give him the pure title. Shit.
Like
Brian Anderson.
I think he would actually have a good fun match with Jonathan Grisham and all that shit. I think he would be good over there. But other than that, it's like
all he wants is to be wants to reunite UE. That's all he wants.
I want somebody to like me. Please. Please like me. Where the fuck is my sounds at? Oh, no sounds. Where can I go? you need to talk about Dandy. All right, next up. WWE has a draft every year. And apparently, they've...
And I love it every year.
And they smartened up. And they said, yeah, we have to move it. What do you have over there? When are they going to move there?
They move... the end of August and early September, September 3rd.
Smart move by them?
Definitely. I mean, it's better than doing it a fucking month before Survivor Series and then having people that just get randomly drafted to Rugby. Oh, I love Raw. Brand loyalty, my ass. It's like that type of shit.
I always said that.
Also, SummerSlam is like the halfway point of when things are changing.
Right.
Yeah, and also now with all these releases, we need a brand to change.
But I always said that it should have been done. Pace. I thought it should have been done after Mania.
Yeah.
But like you said, September, because of SummerSlam, a little bit, you know.
After the UK show.
Yeah, I could see that. I get that. Because it was silly to do it right before Survivor Series when you have the team fucking... branding kind of
people
shit.
People that like, get called up from NXT like, oh, I love SmackDown. I wonder why you love SmackDown. You just got drafted. Motherfucker.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work. My fucking sound machine is not working. Fuck you. All right, let's try another one.
Emotional damage.
Here we go. All right. Did you watch Young Rock this week?
I've seen photos. I've seen the post. I laughed my ass off.
But isn't it cool, though? Colt Cabana was fucking...
Brooklyn Brawler.
And Luke Hawks
just
was...
Just a visual of, like, a Young Rock... Like, just to think of the concept of Young Rock going in the locker room and just, like, this Undertaker in full gimmick, Mankind full gimmick. Like, how you doing?
Luke Hawks was Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see something. Let me see if it works. Okay, it works.
Okay.
Luke Hawks was Stone Cold. And
Stone Cold. Cold was Brooklyn Brawler. Somebody, I don't know anybody else if you know off the top of your head.
I did see the clip of when they showed Young Roman and Rock narrated. Goes, oh, he's going to be the head of the table one day.
But isn't it cool what they're doing? Are they planting that seeds?
Yeah, for the match, that's probably never going to happen.
What? I mean, listen.
It'd be funny if it doesn't happen.
That would fucking suck ass, but...
They're betting a whole fucking run on it.
I think it would happen. I think it would.
It should
Barring happen. Roman getting hurt and barring...
Rock having a movie thing.
No, I think Rock would book around that.
Right.
But other than that,
no, I know,
but barring saying, like, Roman getting hurt...
I'm saying that because there's going to be like a movie studio that's like, oh, no, we need you. Rock's going to definitely... Put his foot down like, no, I am doing this.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't know if I asked you this before. Would it work better that Roman had the belt or with...
I think he doesn't need the belt. I think it just do straight up one-on-one. Yeah,
that's what I said.
Yeah.
Give somebody the title. Let it, you know, have
let
a WrestleMania
Cody have
match.
It, let Braun Breaker have
right,
it.
Right.
Whoever the fuck
you whoever the fuck the it is, to. Let them have a match, a big match. For give Cody versus Brock, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, let those two
do Cody and AJ or Brock and Breaker, what right. the fuck you want to do.
It's to me, Roman versus Rock is just the passing of the torch match.
That will definitely be the last match of WrestleMania,
right?
Regardless of the titles.
Night one or night two?
Night two. Or night one.
Night one or night two.
Cody definitely is going to be main event night two.
Oh, let's get ready to suck it! So apparently AEW is having a new reality show.
I heard about this. Apparently it was leaked from TBS.
Yeah. Why? Why are we doing this?
I forgot the name of it, but it was supposed to be like a backstage view of how the production, how superstars work.
I don't want this! I don't want this!
No reality?
No one cares! The only jerk-offs that care about this is the fucking nerds
you don't
who
wanna,
need
you,
to know how this.
You don't see
no one cares.
You don't want to see Darby and Sting paint their faces together?
No! No one fucking cares. At least with WWE, they kind of do it right when they have their episodes. Because like, what is it? Like the 24s?
Right.
It's a year later.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about what the fuck you doing a month ago.
Yesterday.
I don't need this backstage bullshit. I don't want to know.
Were you a hater of Total
whether
Divas?
I'm working? I have to work on my motivation to really feel. I needed to be angry with him because he and I are such great friends. Fuck you! I don't want to hear that. Go fuck yourself with the show. Pisses me off. Fuck
you.
You
know it's going to be like a comedy type thing. They're going to add like a laugh track to it.
No, it's not. They're going to take it as serious as fuck. I hate this.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tino Sabatelli is talking about how much he's got blackballed out of AEW.
Because he's that talented.
Right. No, but because of the fact that he had a shot during the pandemic era, and after his one-shot match, he went back to NXT and shit. And he's talking about that now that AEW, you know, he can't get booked anywhere near them or anybody close to him. Can't even mention his name because Tony Khan doesn't want to have any relations with him. And I go, yeah, I can see that.
Don't worry. Control your narrative of what you went with open arms.
Well, he was also said that he was to blame for any leaks that occurred during their tapings or whatever. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah, Dick. You were there. Of course. Shit. Why are you mad?
You taking photos and videos of this shit.
Listen, you won the prize. You fucking date Mandy Rose. Take that. You know, you're good.
That's your career highlight.
Yeah. But other than that, it's like, bruh, I don't
You'll
see...
find something.
Yeah, please. Go to Impact. They're hiring everybody. Hell, there's openings happening now. You can go over there. Yeah.
Drink it in, man.
Oh, wait, I got to skip that because I want to save that for later on. Did you hear the new band term that
non-title? So what are you supposed to call it? This match is for nothing.
No win.
No
championship match. Like, what do you call it?
What was this fucking phrase you were using like a month, like 2 months ago when it was like Finn Balor against David Priest, like this is a first contenders match, or like a opportunity match type thing. It was something so stupid.
What?
You just look at me like...
No, because it's confusing to me because it's like...
Like, I saw the list, like, house show was on the fucking list. Like, you can't say house show anymore.
Dark match? What? Next, you can't say shit.
No, they let shit. They let bitch go. But you can't say belt. You can't
I'm saying next, you can't say anything. Like, what? I don't understand this.
We are not wrestling.
Are we waiting for Vince to die? Like, yes. Okay.
I can't wait for the person that takes the Chargers to look at the list. Like, why are these on the list?
Yeah, I'm. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But
why is this list exist? And then there's a list of approved words and the N words on it. Why is that here?
And what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
Looks as though that Tessa Blanchard is having issues with women of wrestling.
Whoopty fucking do. What a surprise. Man, this bitch can't catch a fucking break. What's she do now?
What do you mean she can't catch a break? She's doing it to herself.
No, I'm saying that sarcastically, but what the hell does this bitch do now?
Well, apparently she...
She's apparently the star of this WOW division.
She was supposed to be... Which, by the way, if you guys don't know, it's the executive producer and executive creator creative over there. It's AJ Lee. Yeah. And one of the headstrongs that they wanted was her, mm-hmm. Tessa Blanchard, and this apparently
press conference and everything.
It seems as though that she had rubbed other wrestlers the wrong way when it came to her cutting a promo on a wrestler. Was a Sasha Americana, some shit like that. I believe that's her name. And it seemed as though it was a scathing promo that she cut in which irked people the wrong way. And I said,
"Oh my!
Then she did a good job. That's what you're supposed to do.
Did she say the N-word? Again?
Maybe spick was used. I mean, with a name like Sasha Americana, maybe she's Latina. But for me, it's like, okay. You already knew.
You knew what was going to happen.
What you were dealing with. So
you knew the reason why she got kicked off of Impact.
And why she's not getting signed anywhere else.
Yeah, all she's doing is working out on Instagram, and my God, the body she's making is
apparently ridiculous. Someone posted on a fucking Twitter that said, "If you want to see Tessa Blanchard, learn Spanish."
Exactly. Because
that's the only way she's going to get booked.
Yeah, Mexico, they fucking look at her and be like, oh, you God.
Because that's the only place that they'll book her because they're like, all right,
also, they don't understand what the hell she's saying.
Oh, they don't give a... Well, that's racist. It's factual, but it's racist.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, it's...
N-word? She said the N-word?
She was also part of the training aspect of WOW, and they... pulled her away from that.
They made her like the head trainer.
Yeah, they made her head trainer and they pulled her away from that.
She pulled the build a bot.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, we're gonna have to work on your fucking people skills. What the fuck?
Poor dog.
And you can't teach that.
A lot of people are talking about the AEW video game that's coming out. Fight Forever should be coming out. They're talking about in the third quarter in September.
They showed reveals for Statlander and Nyla Rose, which looked amazing.
And apparently there's problems already, which I spoke about in the previous...
Can't make it say he's miserable.
No, but apparently I spoke about it previously on the episodes where they were already over budget making this game.
Yeah.
And now it's confirmed that they're over budget to make this game.
And they already revealed the whole roster.
It's only 50.
Yep.
Where... WWE has built a long-standing
100.
over that, it's like 120.
I mean, there's DLC packs coming out every 2 weeks now.
Yeah, but still, but I can't dismiss that and argue that because they're start of the game. But apparently, Kenny Omega and the company Yuke's were always having problems with their creative differences and such.
They were butting heads almost every meeting.
And whenever Omega wanted something to add to it, Yuke's was like, yeah, if you want that, you better have the money for it.
Yeah. And Kenny wants this to be like the best wrestling game ever, but that's not possible. Just do... This is your first game. Let it play out the best you can, and then try better version two.
You're a video gamer, right?
Yeah.
What would you have done openly for this? Now I like the aspect of what they want to go back to the no.
They want
to
go back to No Mercy
to and that feeling,
right?
But what would have been your opening team, your opening thing to do with that?
I would have tried. That style was fine. I would have tried going back to like the SVR mechanics type thing,
right?
So, if you want to try to do like the fire pro mechanics, that'd be also good. Like stick to one thing, but right. If you're trying so many things, and also you have to worry about the graphics on the stick. I think September of this year is trying to be it looks like you're rushing. Just try to get the deadline. At least WWE knew they needed a lot more time to fix what the fuck they needed to fix, and that's what we had in this year.
You know,
and not the normal October date.
You know what I would have done? I would have done exactly what No Mercy did, but make it look better, and that's it.
Yeah.
Or even
do the old style.
Because with the technology that it is now, yeah, you would have had a bigger roster.
Right.
And with the
right, all you do is program moves.
Just do the animation. And their career modes, whatever. Because if you ever played No Mercy, their career mode is fucking great.
Yeah, you choose a title path and you go down it.
You fuck up or whatever,
it takes you a different route.
It's fucking fantastic. Right. It's great.
Yeah.
It's easy.
I always had trouble doing that.
Don't be
sick. Whenever it was the Rumble, I was like, okay, I'm going to fuck up now. I'm going to be feuding with somebody. I'm going to feud with Pat Patterson for the next two matches.
But it's fucking great. Yeah. It was so fun because you could always do what you did, pick it up, and do something again.
Right.
But apparently Omega had other objectives to do. So
Still.
We'll see.
This is when he's trying to recover from his injuries, all this shit.
Yeah, so let's see how let's see how they bounce back from this shit. Yikes.
You will know that Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Darius Martin, apparently his injuries occurred not from wrestling, but he was in a severe car accident.
I shouldn't laugh, but...
No, but my whole thing is like,
this guy just came back from an injury.
Yeah, but I'm saying, why bullshit it? Why were they trying to hide it?
Yeah, they said it was like a wrestling injury, wasn't it?
Well, they were just saying...
They just say, oh, he got hurt.
Right, and it's...
And then, like, I think he didn't even reveal, like, Malakai Black revealed on a different, like, show. He's like, oh, yeah, the Darius Martin fucking got into a car accident. And
yeah.
His MCL and shit.
Yeah, the fucking neck sprain and all
the
shit.
The photo's, like, crazy. He's almost broken in half.
Yeah.
Neck brace on, like, a black eye type shit.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
And this guy's still young.
Yeah, he just seems to have a string of bad luck. Right? You all right over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
All We talked about it in the next episode. Where AEW sold over 11,000 tickets for AEW, and it's funny because I saw somebody post where it's like, "Wow, it's crazy that they basically sold out a venue when it 200,000 people were online to get tickets." I was like, "No, it was 20,000." Let's not oversell. Let's not oversell. This isn't WrestleMania, fam. Yeah, Stop. Yeah, as well as they should. Mm-hmm. They should sell it. Yeah. They should sell it out. This is their.
This is not fucking Impact trying to sell out a show and they don't advertise it at all.
Yeah, but this is their all in. You're looking for a fan reach in which.
Think about it. They're doing this show, and then 2 months later at All Out, they're doing Chicago again.
Chicago's a home base, just right. like
Jacksonville.
Just like New York is
WWE.
When so
they run MSG and
it's their home base, and which is fair.
The East Coast is very popular for wrestling,
and for them, the Midwest is there. Yeah. It's fine.
You have CM Punk, who's Chicago's fucking favorite son,
but of course,
might as well use it.
But of course, it's they're gonna sell because of their fan base that's gonna want to buy tickets for it.
Like they have the Long Island show Wednesday. I expect that show to do well. I expect people to go to that show and buy tickets for it. Praying to God, I hope people go to that show and we don't get a like, half building camera.
Well, I don't know because like ratings wise, it looks like they're
still like hovering under 1 million.
I think that wrestling in a whole is
just not pipe as it used to be.
Yeah, and you got to come to terms with the fact that you're not giving fans what they want, and there's other shit out there that.
There's nothing appealing.
That people are watching.
Like, yeah, Punk's back, but also it's like, who cares? Like, we're waiting for, like, it's not like the days where, like, I was looking it up, like Raw in 2000, like, they're pulling, like, fucking 6.8, 7 point, like, 7.5, 9.8.
Well, that's because there wasn't a lot of cable channels. Cold. Yeah, but they didn't have a lot of cable channels back then. They didn't have Netflix, they didn't have Hulu, they didn't have all that shit back then.
The day, like, those numbers are fucking ridiculous. For a single episode, like a 2-hour episode of Raw.
Right, and it could have been
shit, but people were watching the show.
Yeah, but the only numbers that they had to worry about is at that time was because of Monday Night Football or some shit like that. But other than that,
they did better.
At certain instances, yeah.
Yeah,
but now other than that, it's right now is it's so many other outlets to watch things. Uh-huh. Unless there's something that's a draw. And I could do the next cutting promo. It'll be about like what's fucked up about what's going on with AEW because you're giving too much on a fucking free show when you should fucking really sit there and base your show on wrestling and stop doing gimmick shit. But to each his own, I guess. They make me mad.
We coming for you, nigga!
I'm surprised that I actually played that one.
surprised how loud it was.
Exactly. They won't let you know.
Sorry, headphone users.
Apparently, we were speaking about video games earlier. WWE is looking to release a role-playing game on mobile. Seeing that Supercard is a great...
Yeah, Supercard is very popular.
Yeah, very popular and a great revenue for them. They're looking to have a role-playing game. There's a game that's coming out. I forgot the name. It's coming out on Switch. It's a role-playing game. It has Andre the Giant in it, Savage, and a couple of other wrestlers in it. Okay. And they're looking to do the same thing for mobile. Me?
It's an easy cash grab.
Exactly. But me, I'm also sitting there going, I saw what the fuck AEW GM was, and that shit sucked. That shit was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even fucking update that shit to make it work. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that WWE, because they have a lot of other games. They have on what, WWE Clash, WWE. I don't know how many fucking mobile games do they have. They have a lot. So I don't know. Maybe
shout out to wrestling YouTuber Pulse for fucking winning that GM bullshit book in Dr. Luther versus Lee Johnson.
Real what?
The winner of that got to book a match for Dynamite, and he booked Dr. Luther versus Lee Johnson.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
And he runs DPW.
I'm leaving.
If you ever heard of DPW,
Double Penetration Wrestling.
Next topic.
Okay. Candice LeRae.
I was gonna bring this up when.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Her contract expired, and
finally.
Okay. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like she's coming back.
As well as Willie Mack is done with Impact.
And breaking news: Jonah Rock is not coming back to Impact Wrestling either.
Okay, so that enjoy the indies.
Yeah, enough of PCO.
I've been in the danger zone.
So let me double back to before I get to the main event. Where the fuck was I at?
Well, there was one I wanted to bring up.
Oh, what do you have over
there? It was Booker T went on his show and he said that Athena, aka Ember Moon, should not have said anything about the meetings that she had in NXT. Basically saying she should have just kept her mouth shut and not mentioned that at all.
That's his student!
Yeah, but it's also like, she's allowed to say whatever the fuck she wants to say.
Yeah, and
also, and she was very emotional about it too. It obviously bothered her.
What, that they're asking the woman to be more sexier?
Yeah,
that's wrestling.
Also, it's like you see this woman, Mandy Rose, be like her, dress in booty shorts. And a lot of the NXT women are reportedly not happy about that because like all of them have different looks, different styles.
Exactly, but all you have to do is go to your said agent, producer, whatever, but that's not my gimmick.
Yeah, and that's it. Like Johnny Ace is like, but we're just trying to.
What is Johnny Ace's fucking horn dog?
He doesn't know what
bullshit
the fuck he's doing.
No, he does. It's just that he's a horn dog.
Johnny Ace is the same fucker that hired the wrong one legged dude.
Okay, you watched NXT, right?
Right. This is the spring break episode.
The women that are on there. Uh-huh. Does it change your whole mentality of I need to watch this more?
No, because half the segments are bullshit. It's all dialogue.
Does what they wear, does it change your mentality of what you're watching?
Half the time, all the segments have now changed to I can see more cleavage, I can see more vagina, but the dialogue is the worst part about it all because it's...
Listen.
It's because they don't know how to deliver the stupid scripted bullshit.
Nikita Lyons, I'm looking at him going,
fuck her.
I like that. Visually?
Visually fine.
Doesn't mean I'm watching the fucking show. I'm not watching the show to see her. I don't care.
Literally last week, they zoomed in on her tits and ass before the show and say, like, welcome to NXT, everybody.
And she is going to be a star.
Yes.
They are going to push her to the fucking moon. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. She is their fucking Jade Cargill. I don't care what anybody tells me. She's their Jade Cargill. But honestly, nothing is... I don't know whether because I'm older and I don't really give a fuck about what you wear. I'm more inclined to wear, it's like, just wrestle. I want to see... I'm okay with you just... I've heard stories to where that Johnny Ace wants to bring back the Divas era. And it's like, no. Leave it alone.
Johnny Ace doesn't realize that Divas is a banned word.
He'll bring it back. Yeah. He'll find a way to do it. What else do you have?
At AEW, speaking of them before, they finally released the brackets for their Owen Hart tournament. We can quickly go through them for the men.
Sure.
In their first round, Rey Fénix against Kyle O'Reilly, Jeff Hardy against Darby Allin, Adam Cole against Dax Harwood, and Samoa Joe against the Joker. Not the Joker, a Joker surprise. let's be clear on that one. And then for the women, it's Toni Storm against Jamie Hayter, Riho against Ruby Soho, Red Velvet against Hikaru Shida, and Dr. Britt Baker against a Joker pick.
Ugh.
So we have two Jokers for this women's, for the women's and men's tournament. For
you know what,
they've had qualifying matches for 2 months now.
Is that on the men's side? So do they have Jokers or no?
It's both.
Oh, jeez.
Samoa Joe and Britt Baker are the ones that have the Joker match.
Fuck, man. I mean,
do you expect somebody in the company, or do you obviously expect somebody outside the company to show up?
I think for the men's side, I think they would probably put...
it's against Joe, too.
I think they'll probably put Swerve in there. Mm. Because how his match went with...
Darby.
With Darby. Yeah. But knowing them, it's like...
It's going to be like somebody
that... Oh, my God! It's some Japan motherfucker or some shit like that.
It's Bray Wyatt. It's some shit like that.
As much as everybody's praying for that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Bray Wyatt apparently is not an AEW guy.
Yeah.
Apparently his asking price is too high.
That and the fact that there's rumors that Jeff isn't happy either. Jeff Hardy's not happy either.
For what?
And apparently this story is
he doesn't like not being used a week?
That he's in dark? God. Yeah, I guess. Listen.
Yeah.
I'm more inclined to the fact that, look.
Oh, I also have another story, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, before you continue, yeah. I'm more inclined to say that, listen. Why is it that they always have to have these extra shit? Why can't we just... The one thing that bothered me about this is that I would have loved to have seen Cash and Dax have a match during the tournament.
Right.
Not as an entry. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. What else you got?
In the dating world, it was revealed that Rhea Ripley and AEW's Buddy Matthews are together.
Ooh! Two good-looking motherfuckers who are having sex.
From Australia.
Yay! Yeah. Two motherfuckers that I'm envious of. I wish I looked like him and I wish I was fucking her. I mean, honestly.
Other thing, too, is that after Big Cass's debut, technically, or appearance on Dynamite, WWE officials are reportedly interested in bringing him back. Shocker.
I'm not mad at that, though. I'm really not mad at that, though. And I think that I would get
what
would get rid of Amos and bring him.
Just bring the white version of you.
Hey, listen, I'm just saying. Morrissey, he's
got better,
a lot better. Yeah. If you guys watch him at Impact, also, he's if you a didn't lot know what better.
W meant, MJF said William Morrissey. I don't know if that's ever been a thing.
No, it has, because his name, but...
But they said William. I was like, wait, William? Who? And they said Morris. I was like, oh, that's what the W stands for.
What you thought it was, white boy Morrissey?
Just a letter. Big W Morrissey.
He looked really good, I think, with the environment that he was in, especially with the Enzo fucking chants and all that shit. This,
with the fucking chants, with half the crowd screaming, we want Enzo, then the crowd, half of the crowd said, no, we don't.
I thought it was great.
Morrissey's like, how you doing? Fuck you.
Exactly. I think that he took everything in stride, and that shows his professionalism, and that he did very well with that. Very good. Yep. I would not be surprised if they did.
They bring him back.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Other thing too, really. WWE reports highest quarterly revenue ever. Revenue was $333.4 million.
Welcome to my world.
An increase of 27%, and a quarterly record operating income was $92.4 million, an increase of 42%, and adjusted OIBDA one was $111.7 million.
Blah blah blah. Basically,
they made a lot of money in the first quarter.
Of course, they did.
And now going forward, they're going to be doing a lot more stadium shows, which means for the big shows. So SummerSlam is at Nashville this year, which is weird. And then their UK show is going to be in another big stadium. Survivor Series, no big stadium show really announced.
This is what I'm saying. Like, they should keep their shows.
Oh, also Money in the Bank is going to be in the Raiders stadium.
Las Vegas?
Yeah. That was SummerSlam.
But that's another thing to where it shouldn't be the top four anymore. Money in the Bank should be a top five.
I think Money in the Bank is now five.
It should be.
It's top five now.
It should be.
Well,
it should
be considered. Now, now with the UK show, six.
Yeah, no, really. We'll see.
Survivor Series is going to be the show that was like, nobody gives a fuck about. Nobody cares about Raw versus SmackDown.
But this is what I say. A lot of their shows should be a little bit more intimate. They should keep it a little bit more like the 10,000, 12,000 venues. Mm-hmm. You save money, and when the big show happens, boom, you're going to... Vince should be smarter than that. He should know about it. Because with those fan bases, and they know that you keep it smaller, the bigger the revenue comes when you have the bigger shows. So So let's lead into Sorry, you have one more?
Just to mention, Stephanie McMahon receives Variety's 2022 Women's Impact honorees.
All right, fuck that bitch. That's good for her. Good for her.
I have a vagina.
Freddie Prinze Jr., did you hear this?
Yes. He wants to start his own wrestling promotion.
And this is, and do you know who his silent partner is?
No.
Macaulay Culkin, Mr.
Oh, yeah.
Mr.
I thought it was going to be somebody in wrestling.
No, Mr. Home Alone.
Mr. Home Alone.
They're both
big wrestling fans.
Big, humongous wrestling fans. And
wasn't that outline of how Freddie Prinze Jr. wanted to run it?
Yeah. I did have a hold on, let me see. But in any case, I was asked about my thoughts about this, and I said, I think it's fucking great. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day,
it's another place for these released talents to go.
More wrestling, more everything.
More wrestling homes.
I think
this is perfect for the guys that haven't been picked up by WWE or AEW or Impact to go to see Freddie Prinze Jr. Like, hey, you want to hire me? Like, if Jeff Hardy's really pissed, he can go over there again.
I'm trying to find it. I know I had it. I'm so unprofessional right now. But one of the things that they had was that booking would be 50-50.
Yes, that was one of them. Missing matches would matter.
Right. Shit.
Something about like decent sized venues.
Right. And shit. Damn. Can you find it quick? I know. I thought I fucking saved it on my shit. Fuck. But I know that for me, it's. It's one of those things where I've always had this idea that when it came to fan investors, that they would take...
Freddie Prinze Jr. plans to start a unionized wrestling company in the next 18 months.
That's interesting. Unionized, that's interesting. Which means that he will make sure they get paid for their TV views.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be part of SAG. Screen Actors Guild. Mm-hmm. Also, when you get the fanboys, they like a Tony Khan kind of look. It's they tend to stray away from what brings in revenue, which is the stars. I have
a quote here that relates to what the union shit.
Right.
I want it to be a SAG show, and what that means is I want it to be a union show, which would mean each and every single one of my wrestlers would be a member of the Screen Actor Guild,
right,
and be entitled to all the insurance and medical benefits and retirement plans and that it entails. He also mentioned he would hire his own booker because he can't book to save his own life.
Smart.
It's not a dream; it's a plan, and it will be a reality. I hope you guys support it. I hope you dig it. If you don't, you can be just as vocal because, like I said, that stuff motivates me too.
No, but that's smart because he knows that he can't book it.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah, I think I want to start it as a two-hour show. I want my storylines based in reality, and I want to give the women and the men equal time on the roster. This was one of the things I saw.
Right.
Was that he wanted to give the men and the women equal time on the show, so it's not just like 75% male and then 25% women.
But does that work, though? Because
it'd be interesting to see how the show flows.
kind of niche though, because women wrestling is, I've been telling people, and they always say that, well, you know, you're sexist. And I'm like, no, women's wrestling is niche because not a lot of women, a lot of women know how to wrestle. I hate to say it, like a guy. So, you know, you got the Charlottes, you got the Beckys, you got the fucking Biancas, you have the Baileys, you have the Oscars. They know how to wrestle like guys, but not a lot of women can do that. So give the opportunity, and when you start seeing them wrestle, you go, woof, that shit looks bad.
How many stars were you giving that one?
But
it'd be interesting to see like which women Freddie brings in. Because there's going to be a lot, because a lot of the women that are talented are signed. And again, a lot of the women that aren't signed, like your Ember Moons,
right,
Dakota Kai that just got released,
right,
Candice LeRae, like those are people that he's going to definitely go after.
So now, what men do you bring in, though?
Johnny Gargano, Bray. If you could go reality, Bray would definitely be a good option.
Austin Aries.
No, he's control your narrative. Fuck you.
Can you imagine a guy like him
working with Freddie Prinze Jr.?
But that he's fucking, now that's what he's stuck with because he's blackballed himself to that shit. Yeah. Enjoy your vegan life, fuck. Like, honestly. And I used to like you too. I'm always
with a where I'm talking about not putting masks on. Who would be my opponent? It has to be a luchador.
You know who's the immediate person who's going to be the face of their company?
Who?
Morrison.
John Moore, yeah.
He's everywhere.
That company name is, that's going to be. Did you see that GCW fucking advertised him and they called him Johnny Game Changer?
Yes. Which, by the way, the goof now is that, which I was saying, is that do you see.
Ring of Honor brings him Johnny.
Do you see GCW names for their fucking shows?
Half the time, I don't even think it's real.
They're, hold on, I gotta look at it.
Was it a Toxic something?
No, their latest show is latest show is Game Changer Wrestling presents I Never Liked You.
Oh my god.
I said their names sound like a fucking teenage girl's diary entry. Like, what the fuck?
You should look up Progress over there. All their show names are somewhat crazy. There's like they do like chapters, like chapters, like they go up and they've been going up like up to 150. And one of those like chapter something, pizza sucks. Like that type of shit.
Really?
Like that type of shit.
Oh jeez.
But it has nothing to do with the name at all.
Because I think that people, I think they come to the thing to like, people don't care. Like, right.
Pizza sucks. Hello, babe.
I'm whatever. But yeah, I'm excited for the Freddie Prinze promotion. I want to see what it is.
We have to look at the next 18
and
months.
He's a former WWE writer.
Yeah,
so
people don't know that.
Yeah, he has the insights for it, and I think that him, Macaulay, and
who would if you're Freddie Prinze Jr., who you hire as a booker? Because if he says he can't do it, who's gonna give the book to?
I don't know who he knows though. Like you could give it to Road Dogg. Like Road Dogg would be a good booker.
Imagine like Cornette.
Cornette doesn't want to go anywhere. He says not leaving unless it's in Kentucky, that Louisville.
I'm saying, like, imagine like he goes to Cornette and just asks.
That's an easy look for him, but don't give it to Russo. Don't give it to fucking Russo.
That'd be
the toxic fucking environment ever. Bush. As soon as I hear that he gives it to Russo, I'm like, you know what? I'm not watching.
Never mind.
This shit. Watching this shit.
It's dead already.
Bischoff,
Dutch.
Jared, I would give it.
I thought Jared's with WWE at the moment.
From here to there, you don't know what the fuck I'd be.
Yeah. I mean, Jared's getting kicked out of AAA.
Yeah, so you don't have fucking know. Jared beat her, right?
Well, you know what? I hope it would be somebody new that we don't know, and we see how the style is.
Yeah. Or maybe Deranged from fucking ROH.
What do you mean, Delirious?
I mean, sorry, Deranged. I'm thinking about the wrestler. Delirious from ROH, yeah.
Bring in Smiley, too. Fucking Freddie. Hire Smiley. If anybody's going to do
as a booker?
No, as a wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Also, if he wants to book, let him book.
Anybody who's booking, hire Smiley.
Yes.
Can we get him for the show?
We're trying. I'm trying.
What the fuck, bro? All right, guys.
He's a family man like you, too.
Oh, whatever. Guys, that's going to wrap up Wrestling Run Now. We got much to talk about. Around the Square Circle coming to you soon. I'm done. Like, I'm finished. We did like 3 segments. I'm done. All right, guys. Don't go anywhere. Check you guys in a sec.
More talking about tablet.
Whatever. Fuck it. Check you guys in a sec.
This is Devontae, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloids.
Round the Square Circle, ladies and gentlemen. What we watch, what we listen to, what we partook in this past week. There's a lot going on. I was basically recording from like the 3 different sites and shit. Like, Open Salvo was from at work, then Wrestling Rundown was from the other day, and Holmick was here, and then this is for another day. That's what I like doing the show the way that I do it, because if I need to, I could just chop it up piece by piece and just get it done and just push it out there. And plus, if I get more news articles and breaking news, I could just fill it in whenever I can. But I do miss the days of sitting with Oski and just shooting him out straight. Going on 3-hour sessions, 4-hour sessions, and just shooting the shit, bullshitting. Starting Opening Salvo at my first beer and then ending it at like my 15th. it became a marathon of beer consumption and wrestle shit. So I do miss those days. So just a quick synopsis of what happened this past week. We had Impact's Under Siege was this weekend. For you guys who haven't watched it, take a gander. What's going on? Just going to give you some quick rundown. I'm not going to... I think I'm going to hold off from spoilers because people who may be listening might not want to hear that, so... Let's just go through quickly what matches they had. They had Heath Slater and Rhino versus Raj Singh and Shira. We also had Rich Swann, Laredo Kid, and Mike Bailey in a triple threat match. Chris Sabin and Steve Macklin had a match. Taya Valkyrie and Deonna Purrazzo. A former TNA Knockout and a former WWE women's wrestler made her return to Impact. So who could that be? Mm-hmm. Ace Austin and Trey Miguel had a match for the X Division Championship. Then we had Honor No More. That would have been Eddie Edwards, Kenny King, and Matt Taven with Mike Bennett and Vincent squared up against Bullet Club. We had Tasha Steele versus Havoc for the Impact Knockouts Champion. And the Briscoes versus Violent by Design for the Impact World Tag Team Championship, which is actually a really good match. Really good match. Then we get Moose had a segment, and that's when there was a big return that occurred. And finally, we had Josh Alexander versus Tomohiro Ishii for the Impact World Championship. So check that out, guys. I watched highlights from it. I'm gonna watch the rest of it in full later on today. And for what I saw with the highlights, it was actually a really good show. Impact, when it comes to their pay per views, they actually do a good job on that. And so shout out to those guys over there. We get what we listen to, what we watch. Cornette this week, I heard him discuss about the gimmick matches this past week that AEW has been doing. Someone actually wrote in to describe how the
gimmick matches, how many were in count, what were in place, how many they've done, the different variations, and you know, of course, he had his opinion about that. He also discussed the history of the 10 count and what it is, and also his reviews of the shows this week. Wrestling bios, I watched the Fall Brawl 97. That was the one in which Kurt Hennig turned on the Horseman. You guys haven't seen it. MLW this week, we had Richard Holiday versus Davey Richard, and also a good match with Myron Reed and a returning Swerve Scott. So check those guys out at MLW as well. So that will basically lead us into Raw this week, right, guys? All righty then. I'm going very heavy EDM this time around. Opening on Raw this week, this was the go-home show before WrestleMania Backlash. And, of course, we get Roman, Paul Heyman, the Usos in the ring, cutting a promo. And after that, Beto and Orton jump out of nowhere, hitting RKOs on the Usos. They was holding on Roman Reigns until the man himself, Drew McIntyre, came to the ring with his weapon, his dangerous weapon, not his cock. Talking about his sword. Well, it could be his cock too. But yeah, it's came out with his sword. It was a quick start to the show where we got some quick action, surprising action. Wasn't too bad. I'm enjoying this angle for now. I'm kind of glad that they're not unifying the titles, the tag titles. I'm okay with that. But other than that, let's see what else happened on Raw. Kevin Owens teamed up with Otis and Chad Gable to take on Ezekiel, Montez Ford, and Angelo Dawkins. Good match, fun match. Ezekiel seems to be holding his own with his look, I could say. And I think although Owens is not utilized well here, I can't say that I think he's fine with the way everything is going with him. And this is why he re-upped. KO and Alpha Academy get the win here. And, and it was funny because he tripped up Ezekiel and, fucking Gable was able to get the roll up pin. The roll up, ladies and gentlemen, the most dangerous move in sports entertainment. Like I said, it's so far so good with the Ezekiel thing. It's holding up. Then we get Veer versus Bert Hansen. Squash. But before that, we get a AJ Styles conversation where I guess he's trying to set something up for Damian Priest and Edge. Something's going down. I'm hoping that we get the pair up. Let me just say that it eventually did happen after the match between Damian Priest and AJ Styles. We get Styles winning and then Edge immediately coming into the ring, trying to attack Styles, but then Finn comes in. And apparently they hit the two sweep, but the camera cut away from it. So, Or did they cut away from it or did they cut it? I think they cut it later on. It wasn't that they cut away from it. I think they cut it later on. We get The Miz, who welcome Mustafa Ali as a guest of Miz TV. It's whatever. Austin Theory, of course, comes out. We then get the match between Miz and Ali. Miz gets the win. Ali's looking good here. I'm hoping that maybe he finds himself back in the mix in WWE. Maybe he changes his mind about leaving. But let's just see. Maybe another environment might work for him. Maybe he'll work better in SmackDown. But that's a long way to go to the draft. Long way to go. Nikki A.S.H. In this whole 24/7 title. I really hate covering this shit. I don't want anything to do with this. The only thing I said is she won the 24/7 title, then lost it, but she became a Grand Slam winner because she had the titles, the tag titles, and the 24/7 title, I guess. So, congratulations, Nikki A.S.H. When are about to let that gimmick go? Next, we get Cedric Alexander and Bobby Lashley. Really? Where the hell was I at when this happened? I did not know that occurred. Let me just look at this. This was after Seth Rollins and Cody had a long exchange that ended with the American Nightmare. After Seth tried to attack Cody, Cody sent him running. Bobby Lashley and Cedric Alexander had a match. Before the match could begin, Amos Music. Oh, that's what it was. It distracted Lashley so Alexander could attack from behind. I do remember this. The Almighty swatted him, trying to do a suicide dive and sent him to the barricade. From this point forward, Lashley basically whipped his ass and was able to score the win. The Hurt Locker then dared Amos to come to the ring, and MVP held him back. How long does this romance end between MVP and Amos? Then we get Asuka, Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, and Sonya Deville. Actually, a good match. Fun match. Good to see Asuka back in the ring wrestling. She looked really good. It's one of those matches that juggled like three storylines at once, which is a fun thing to do. And very funny that fucking Bianca was spinning that hair, and I think she whipped Asuka in the face with the shit. It's like, oof. Yikers. So, yeah, that was the main event, and it closed out Raw, which was pretty cool. Sometimes it's cool to see the women close out the show. All in all, Raw was okay, and it's been hovering on that like that for some time. It's been cool. We got some good stories leading into WrestleMania Backlash. I think a lot of the finishes for Backlash are going to be very predictable. But even still, it's like, you know, that's the day and age of wrestling right now, I guess, right? So that'll lead us into AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite. Opening up the episode. I already start off. We opened up. We had an Owen Hart Foundation men's tournament qualifier. We had Jeff Hardy versus Bobby Fish. And how is it that Randy Jackson would say for American Idol? This one didn't fly for me, dog. I was looking at Jeff for after I said he looks a little sluggish. Then he turned it up a little bit, and then I said, no, he still looks a little bit sluggish. I even looked at him a little deeper, and I said he looks like he's put on weight too. So, it wasn't I think these two ring work, like, together, it just didn't fly for me. There was certain spots that that Hardy didn't look like the old Hardy. He just looked like old Hardy. And I don't know. Hardy gets the win here to get into the tournament. After that, we get the face-to-face with the Hardys and the Young Bucks. Whoop-de-doo. Whatever. Next up, we get Blackpool Combat Club against The Butcher, The Blade, and Angelico. Next, I'm waiting for one of these motherfuckers to break away from this group. This shit is ridiculous. Unless you guys, or he shows me, or someone tells me why I should really give a fuck about Wheeler Yuta and honestly say, hey, you might have a point. I'm never gonna fucking get that shit. No way. We then get Wardlow versus surprise entrance to the match. We had a W. Morrissey show up, which, by the way, number one, I'm loving the Wardlow Goldberg chance. It fits him perfectly. I'm hoping that they're not playing music for him, because they're making music for him that will be similar to somewhat of like that Goldberg-ish Roman gladiator kind of music theme, but like, you know, maybe a little bit more hipper, where the fans could chant Wardlow when he's coming to the ring. Number two, it was great to see Morrissey there. He looked really good. I know a lot of people were giving shit to JD from NY, because 4 years ago he made a comment about Morrissey and how he was in WWE, and then, you know, basically lambasting him, saying that he sucks. And then now that he's appearing in AEW, that he's like, oh, that's a great look. I would have given him shit for it too if Morrissey didn't get better and he didn't look better and he was still that old big cast kind of guy. But the guy is drastically transformed and he looks tip-top shape. Knowing that what he's been going through in the past couple of years, for him to be able to get in front of an audience like that again must mean so much to him, and he took advantage of it greatly. So I love this match. I thought that Morrissey really worked through it, especially during the Enzo chants. We want Enzo. No, we don't. And he actually sold it pretty well, and actually gave a little motion to the crowd about it. In the end, Wardlow gets the win after pretty much selling a whole bunch. There was one or two spots in this match that I was like, that didn't make sense. But you know what? For these two guys, it works. I know he wasn't going to take the fucking symphony powerbomb. So he said, fuck that. You're going to hit me with one and that's it. And as well as he should. So Wardlow gets the win here. After the match, the security comes in to put the handcuffs on Wardlow, and he just beats the shit out of everybody until finally he announces to MJF that I'm not going to be done until you and I finish this in the ring. And this is when we get the announcement that MJF and Wardlow were battling Double or Nothing. Or basically he said he'll give him, I guess, his answer as a stipulation next week on Dynamite when they're in Long Island. Ruby Riott and Britt Baker cut a promo with Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter there. And those segments with those females in particular are just horrible. They're just bad. They look fake. It doesn't look anywhere near as though like there's some real animosity there. It's terrible. I'm not with the shits. So this is what I wanted to play. Hangman Page cuts a promo, talking about that, CM Punk isn't there and in their upcoming match. So before I continue, I want to play this because I have to hear this again. Because when I heard it the first time, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. All right, hold on.
Defeated Dustin Rhodes, and who should come out but none other than the AEW World Champion, Hangman Adam Page.
Build up is there.
A little tense there, CM Punk. A little tense.
It was tense, but now it is okay, official. Okay, no, wait.
That's not it. Hold on.
At Double or Nothing.
Let me la-da-dee, la-da-da. Let me look for this quick. Because he makes a mention about the match that he's going to have with Punk. And I generally said, you know, fuck this match. Here we go.
All right, Hangman Adam Page, you and Kenny Omega, longtime tag team partners a year ago.
Fuck, that's not it either. Where the fuck is it at? Shit. I should play the music while I look for this, right? I'm so unprofessional. La 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 la. Thought I had it queued up. Is this it? Yeah, this should be it. Okay. That's it. Yeah. Nice shirt, by the way.
It would, it'd be real easy for me to come out here and say how much I love CM Punk, how much I respect him. It'd be real easy to tell you how much I look forward to shaking his hand in this ring, how much I look forward to standing across the ring from the best in the world at Double or Nothing.
Are we teasing the fact that Paige might be turning heel?
And it would be real, real easy to tell you how much I'm looking forward to having an all-time classic for the AEW World Championship.
Should be, right?
It would be real, real easy. But that's not going to happen.
Why? Why, Paige? Why?
At Double or Nothing, there's not going to be a handshake. At Double or Nothing, there's not going to be a masturbatory Bret Hart tribute match.
Okay. This right here, I said, what the fuck? What? Why? Okay, the internet has figured out that a lot of the matches in which CM Punk has been doing has been paying homage to Bret Hart. If you can see like certain sequences and spots, they're very much correlating with Bret Hart and the history and his few years. Especially, I forgot what match it was. I think it was the Derby match, where it was basically move by move of Bret versus Six at the time, or 1-2-3 Kid at the time. Why would you fucking say this, Paige? Why? Why is it that, you know, the wrestlers, the best thing about being a wrestler was that you can act and just play dumb. Just play dumb. Then later on down the line and just say, yeah, you know, we're going to do that. Why is it that we always have to fucking show that we're the smartest person in the room? I know what you guys know, too. I know what he's been doing. You're just basically saying that wrestling is fucking fake. We know this already, but Jesus, you want us to separate and, you know, get disbelief from what we're watching, but yet you're not helping by saying shit like this. You can't have it both ways. Fucking jerk off.
I am going to destroy CM Punk.
It should make it. This should be like this should be like Bret Hart's worst fucking match that they emulate. So it makes fucking Hangman look like shit.
Yeah, I see you. I see you right out there with that CM Punk shirt. I want you to
Bret
look
Hart
me in the eyes.
Never had a bad match.
I want you to look me in the eyes right now. Like, and I want to tell you this.
It should be like him
heart,
and Goldberg.
When I'm done with him, you will be running back to the merch stand to get a refund if you already haven't burnt the damn thing.
Yay! Adam Page.
Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I guess as champion, it's my responsibility to tell you that your beloved CM Punk is not here tonight.
You know, I don't even give a shit anymore. I that shit just fucking annoyed me. Why would you even you could have gotten heat without saying that. What you said afterwards about the guy in the audience wearing a shirt, whatever, you could even had Bass Punk coming back to AEW and not being the man as he used to be. Looks as though that, you know, he's missing a step or two and blah, blah, blah. You could have done all that shit, the old same tropes. Why would you want to fucking pull back the curtain? And of course, everybody was sucking his dick. Oh. We get Santana versus Jericho. And once again, something about this rivalry. I guess the Jericho Appreciation Society is not really working for me. And I don't know. It's just all for me. I don't know. It's almost like I really shouldn't give a fuck about this. Death Triangle save Varsity Blondes from the House of Black, and House of Black were about to demolish Rey Fénix and such. And also, Garrison, that's who it basically was. It was Varsity Blondes Garrison. They gave her a chair to hit him with, and she didn't do it. It's coming soon, though. It's coming soon. I want to see more of the House of Black, but do I really? I don't know. Is it through them, through this team, that would make sense to see them elevate to be a dominating, powerful crew? And yes, they do need a female. I'm on that board where if you have a faction, you should have a female on there. But I don't know. Let's see if they make if Miss Hart becomes the Black Hart. Was that right? I think that was already taken. I think that was Owens. And finally, we get for the Undisputed Ring of Honor Championship, we get Deonna Purrazzo versus Mercedes Martinez. And in case you didn't know, Martinez wins because got to start with a new roster of their champions, right? Because Tony Khan bought the company, and Purrazzo can't be carrying around that belt if she's going back to Impact, right? It sucks because both of these women are actually much more better wrestlers than on what we saw for this night. I thought that maybe the buildup was so lackluster, and for AEW fans who really don't know who Purrazzo is, I mean, let's just say that they do, but let's say that they don't, that they really didn't show her true talents this card on this night. But other than that, fairly decent match for a championship. And like I mentioned, Mercedes Martinez is your new ROH Women's Champion. And that'll close out AEW Dynamite, which will lead us into Friday Night SmackDown. Friday Night SmackDown.
SmackDown before we go to WrestleMania Backlash, kicking off on this week's episode. We get a non-title match between Aaliyah and Charlotte Flair. Aaliyah has gotten a lot better. This is, I have to be honest, from her humble beginnings early on in NXT to where she's become now, I have to say that she stepped up. She's, you know, sometimes they get it wrong in WWE, but I think this time they actually got it right where they saw her potential and they saw that she was progressing. So smart. Ronda Rousey was there as well. And now, of course, Drew Gulak is hovering around as well. We get Sasha Banks next up against Shayna Baszler. This should be so much better. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it should have been so much better. Baszler gets the win here, which, by the way, I'm looking at this picture at Baszler. She got a little fatty on her. Okay. All right. I'm looking at Baszler's fatty. I'm still on this fence with this pairing up because I really want to see just Baszler do her. She needs her own run. She needs her own title push. Like, let's get this going already. We get Happy Talk with Madcap Moss, Drew Gulak versus Gunther after as well. Happy Talk is just filler. I understand what they're doing with Gunther, slowly but surely building him up, which, by the way, he looks really good. And watching him on social media, you could tell this dude is like, he's with the shit. Like, he's like, fuck this. I'm all in with this America shit. My son was out there rocking the Brooklyn Nets jersey. He was chilling like, yo, I'm out here. We get a tables match, New Day versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Back and forth match between the two. And are they still calling? I wasn't sure if they were still chanting "Shake It, Sheamus." Were they? I missed that. Okay. Tables match on the SmackDown. Not really necessary, but they don't do it all the fucking time. I'm just more shocked that they're actually allowing Ridge Holland to do these moves on the outside still after what the fuck he and Big E had to go through. But other than that, it's just to me that these two teams, I'm waiting for it to elevate. The tables match didn't elevate it yet. We get a return from Lacey Evans. Looks like she's going to be running, I guess, that heel run after this fucking sympathetic backstory, how much of her father was a fucking asshole. And we get this whole, story about how she had to struggle through adversity, and then yet she's going to be a heel coming back. Right. And we had a lead up for Sami Zayn going head to head with Nakamura. Whatever happened to the Nakamura and Roman Reigns thing? I mean, we've seen Zayn and Nakamura go through it before. I think maybe there should be a little bit more element to it. I think maybe this is just a filler until maybe the Roman Reigns thing comes back. Maybe. So, let's see. Let's see how this it boils down. Finally, we get RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre meeting up with the Bloodline. And it's your typical blow-off to SmackDown. You get the, typical faces and heels squaring up for the eventual big match that they're having at WrestleMania Backlash. Nothing to write home about.
average at best. And that's what pretty much SmackDown was this week, was just average at best. I'm going to say that we can do better there. we can do better there. SmackDown, we can step that up a little bit. Other than that, that'll be closing it out with, of course, AEW Rampage. Ah, man, AEW Rampage. It seems like the numbers are going down and down through the weeks, which is unfortunate. But, you know, they move the times around. I'm not sure whether or not people see that they move, they're bouncing around the times. And I believe they started at 7 this week, right? Because I missed it. I was looking for it at 10 o'clock. And I luckily, I recorded the shit, and I was like, oh, shit, there it goes. God, I'm over here, like, looking for where the fuck it was at. Here we go. Hold on a second. I have my, you know, it's funny, because I have notes on my phone, but I tend to forget the notes that I look at. I do both. I go on the site, and then I go on my phone. I go back and forth, but for Rampage, I think I was doing double duty. I was recording, and I totally... don't remember if my notes correlate with what the fucking, what the show actually was. So, of course, with Rampage, we were anticipating what was going to go down with the whole Hook and Danhausen thing and blah, 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 right? So, before we get into that, opening up the night, we had, of course, the tag team match. It was Tony Storm and Ruby Soho versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Wasn't a bad match. I just think that it's with these four, Tony has yet to really get to gel with any of these women. It wasn't too misleading to see that she's not yet fit there yet. But also, like, the chemistry isn't really there yet. If you could get these women more involved with each other, I think their storylines would be much, much better. But for their first meeting like this in this tag team match or whatever, not too bad. Not too shabby. Not at all. Tony Storm gets the win. And I was surprised that Britt actually took the cover. It was actually shocking to see. We then get Hook versus JD Drake. How did this happen? Like, we just lining them up with anybody, right? Hook found himself, giving quite a... But he won the match in 2 minutes against a guy who was like... 70 pounds bigger than him. Okay. This is when Danhausen comes out and asks him if he'll be in the corner when he takes on Tony Neitz. The crowd goes nuts. Everybody's excited. Now it's Hookhausen. And people are like, yay. But Hook wasn't with the shits. Danhausen tried to curse him. And, gimmicky schlock shit, I guess. Whatever. Although, like I said, I do find Danhausen hilarious. I want to know who came up with this pairing. I want to know who thought that this was going to fucking work. I don't know. We get Riho versus Yuka Sasaki, which we haven't seen in quite some time. Sasaki hasn't been there in some time. I like the darker looking Riho. It looks more as though that she's going to be more dark side and probably look a little bit more heelish. She didn't look too Final Fantasy fucking video game girl character-ish, but the black outfit did work a little bit better for me. Rio gets the win here and qualifies for the Owen Hart tournament. Lastly, we get Takeshita versus Jay Lethal. And it took me a minute to realize who the fuck this was. And this is actually a DDT wrestler. And I was like, oh, I've heard of you. I've seen you in the indies around. Why are you here? But once again, I forgot that AEW had a partnership with DDT now. So not a bad match. I just thought that, you know, there's more to be coming along with this partnership, hopefully. After the match, when which Lethal wins, the best friends come to the ring. Singh makes sure to kick everybody else's ass, make sure that nobody, you know, did anything stupid. Cassidy was, hey, yeah, fuck this, I'm good. I'll stay out here, my usual casual self. And that's when Samoa Joe's music hit and he cleared house. So, not too bad of a match. Was decent. I thought it would probably go a little bit longer than it did, but it didn't. But all in all, like, Rampage wasn't bad. It was all right. It was for them moving the time slot, and I can see why a lot of people missed it and probably really didn't care about going back to it anyway. So, but other than that, that's gonna wrap up Around the Square Circle and wrap up Turnbuckle Tabloid this week. So guys, make sure you check us out on all social media outlets. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and on Twitch. Also be sure you check us out on all the podcasting outlets. Check us out on RageWorksNetwork.com, and as always, check out the family at RageWorks.net. And before I go, as always, although I opened the show with it, I'm going to close with it as well. I can't believe this world that we this country that we live in. Just be sure, you know, especially today being Mother's Day and such, take a look at your mother. She's still around. You're lucky enough to have her around. Give her all the love, give her all the support, give her all the attention that you have. Not only today, but every day. I'm fortunate enough to have my mother still around. So fortunate enough that she lives with me. She's a pain in my ass, but love her nonetheless. But also realize that, you know, as not only your mother, but as a woman, little by little, their liberties are being taken away. Their rights, their reasons and choices that need to be made are being taken away. This is just a prelim of what's upcoming. So don't be surprised if a lot more things come down from not only this draft. Don't be surprised if you see, you know, legislation go down about same-sex marriage, about immigrants, about the hirings of certain individuals at certain workplaces. Don't be surprised if this occurs, man. I'm telling you. The fear is there. It's there. So other than that, guys, I'm out of here. Take a bump. Love you guys. I'm going to play some 2K22 and finish the day off. Maybe, you know, cook some dinner for mom. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Laters.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Tabloid.